afternoon, Atlanta. This is Everything in Atlanta, and I'm here today as your host with the host of Matthew Gardner.
That's it. That's it. Good morning, everybody, and hope everybody's doing good on a Tuesday. You know, the weather's been nice. The pollen's starting to get down here in Atlanta a little bit, which I know makes everybody a little bit more comfortable with sneezing and coughing and yellow cars running around. So it's been a nice stretch of weather here, Danny.
It has. And it's funny, Matt. I've been coughing the last 48 hours, and it didn't have anything to do with the pollen. It's amazing. It actually had to do with what you actually put on Facebook, too, and that is tax season.
Oh, gosh, man.
I coughed a little bit on that.
Yeah, I did, too. You know, it's I put a picture up on my Facebook page yesterday as I was getting everything organized and in the right stacks, and it actually covered my entire dining room table.
Deep. Not
it wasn't one page
you spread
each.
Five pages right. out. We're talking, I would say, around 30 pages deep across the entire table.
Yeah, I estimated for a small business like you and I, and, you know, personal taxes go with it. It was somewhere around 1,200 to 1,300 pieces of paper.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. I think the government, being as eco-friendly as they are, support that. So
I think they have some sort of pulp. You know,
fiction?
No, you know, but they from trees.
Down
in Brazil or something.
Well, yeah, Bush has to deal with the gas companies, and Obama has to deal with the pulp companies.
Gotcha.
So
gotcha.
That he that's why he always wants to increase the paperwork we have to.
Yeah. So you had to run up to the CPA yesterday. I was back up at their office at 7:30 this morning. What do we need to do with this? Can we sign this? And it, you know, their whole office looks like a explosion has happened.
A war zone, right?
Paper. I mean, papers everywhere. And you know, you look at this simple tax opportunities that several of those that are running for president or have good ideas are trying to get accomplished. And you know, I don't think in our lifetime we'll see any reform or anything with it. But man, it would be. It would be good. I mean,
fair tax.
Right?
Say what? I think it was the pollen. Andy, pollen.
It was absolutely the pollen.
Andy, why don't you filter the room today? I agree, Matthew. I agree.
So, you know, the post office will be open late tonight, so people will be running in and already got ours in the mail today. And included some other pieces of paper in there, looked like checks. So that was more paper.
Well, apparently the trend is just not to pay them at all. I mean, you know, we had the Buffett rule shot down yesterday, and then we hear today that Buffett is well behind on his taxes, disputing about what 10 years worth. So
really?
So basically, you should tell everybody else they should pay taxes and just not pay yours. That seems to be the trend.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
No paperwork involved.
Well, you heard that the fine president of our country had over $450,000 worth of write-offs this year. So that's fortunate for him, right?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I had...
Yeah, just a little
I think
shy
I
of ours.
$1,200 that I wrote off.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're busy and you're a small business owner, so
sure.
we're going to do things differently, hopefully, in the future with some right people. And God willing, this will happen. But, you know, I have to apologize. You know, I was a little bit late getting over here. And here's why. You know, I was doing a presentation there at the office in the boardroom, and the client
was fixing the needs of the social media world.
Yeah. You know, this guy's got a great idea, and he thinks Facebook and things of the nature are going to help grow his business, which he's correct. And I went to turn on the computer, Danny. You know what happened?
It didn't work.
Frozen screen syndrome.
Such a
so
pain.
The atmosphere in the room went to everybody's all excited, high-fiving, let's go see what the internet looks like, let's see what Yepser can do. And there was that awkward 5 minutes of rebooting the computer. And, you know, of course, when you reboot the computer, everything pops up. You know, do you want to update this?
That.
You haven't registered that. And
17 viruses found.
Yeah. So, you know, it is what I call a buzzkill. And, of course, you know, everybody that is dependent upon technology has these problems. So, you know, Danny, do you know anybody in town that I could call to help me out?
You know, I met a gentleman just a couple days ago. His name is Eric Bookman, and Mr. Bookman is the answer. Let's just go ahead and put it that way. But we want to welcome him to the show today. Eric Bookman, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Eric is with Johns Creek Computers. And
there
you go. Yeah, you can find him at johnscreekcomputers.com. And he can fix all of your needs there in Johns Creek. What I'd like to talk a little bit about today is how did you get into the business? Qualify yourself a little bit.
Well, basically, I've always worked for other IT, large corporations, doing their dirty work, fixing their computers, fixing the mistakes that all the their employees have. Worked for IBM for about 5 years, repaired ThinkPads, jumped into help desk after that, helping kind of mainstream people. Didn't really like the whole cubicle atmosphere, kind of got old after taking about 300 calls a day. So I moved into training technicians for Staples, basically being their mobile tech and just going out there and being with people, repairing computers. And
now, what is Staples' program called? Because I think Blockbuster has a program. Is there any specific
Blockbuster?
Program?
Yeah, Blockbuster. You can rent a repair.
Yeah. What's it called? The not Blockbuster, but
Geek Squad.
Geek Squad. Thank you, man.
They've gotten out of the DVDs and into.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that show Chuck? And they're the something squad. And so I always get that
Geek Squad. Geek Squad.
There we go. So was it that type of thing, or were you internally working for Staples?
It was kind of Staples' program, exactly how they wanted to get into the same business that Best Buy wanted to get into, which was making money repairing computers.
Gotcha. Well, that's cool. So I guess, number one, that tells me that you've handled every problem there is out there. You know, I mean, it's not like you were in this one little IT nook at IBM and you fixed this exact computer. It sounds like you've had a very wide range of computers and problems that you would have worked on.
Yeah, Staples also made you pretty much were a salesperson.
You had the opportunity.
Yeah, you basically talk to people and try to recommend the best solution. Gotcha. And if they have problems, they can come in and we'll give them advice, or we'll even fix the problem for them.
Oh, cool. Well, that's fantastic. So what is that sweet spot for you? Is it working more with the business owner, or is it just working with Sally, who can't get her laptop to boot up? What do you find is one of the biggest calls you get?
I get a lot of home users right now. I have some businesses that I take care of, do their maintenance, and just keep them up to date to where nothing fails. And it's just a lot of home. I mean, I get a lot of referrals from home users, so it keeps going around, and I just go out there and service them, and I just really enjoy being with people. I just don't believe in the whole corporate thing after a while, after you're working with Staples and seeing their mythologies about how they do their repairs, seeing what Geek Squad does, because I have friends who work for them, and I'm just trying to offer a better solution for people. Like, if you ever called anybody for repairs on a computer and you just bought your brand new computer and you take it home and a month later all of a sudden things not booting up, well, even simpler than that, your email's not working. You would call up HP, they would say, hey, we don't handle anything with your email. We just handle if you have a hardware failure. They don't really focus anything except does the machine turn on.
And that's 1-800 3 hours of your life.
Yeah,
basically. So,
well, you know, you say that, and I want to make sure that I and the audience understand the fact that you're saying you would literally contract monthly with a homeowner. And it's funny you say that, because some of the guys in my neighborhood have more electronics in their home than Matt and I have running an internet company.
Yeah.
I mean, they have the Apple, who's hooked the Apple box hooked to the Apple laptop, hooked to the iPad, hooked to the lights, hooked to the, and I mean, literally, you know, if there's a 20, 30, whatever you charge a month fee, I think they would win in hours of trying to keep all of that organized.
Sanity,
and
too,
work.
Yeah. I mean, just having to go through and try to self-diagnose your problems. You know, last week we had a chiropractor on the show, and we were talking about trying to self-diagnose yourself as a human being. Well, you know, the computer and technology, they're made up of physical things and mental things, if you will, and they're going to fail and have problems. So you talked about working with homeowners. You know, can they call you for the simple things, or do they need to have a complete meltdown before they give you a call?
Well, I kind of make it where what I try to push for the maintenance agreement is that nobody has any software support when you buy a computer, and they're always calling like three different people because everybody's giving them the runaround. So my idea to help the homeowner out on that kind of maintenance is, you can call me with your simple problems. Mm-hmm. My email's not working. Word gives me an error when I load it up, or my font's red on my email, which I've seen, and they're like, how do I make that black? I don't want red text on my email.
Sure.
Simple things like that I can do. And I can also do spot fixes where if they don't really want to sync $35 a month on maintenance, which I think is extremely cheap to have a help desk person to sit there and
sure
keep your stuff up to going. Mm-hmm. I do another way where if you call me and it's something I want to do, I mean, something you need to have done and it's important, I mean, on site, I'll charge basically about $70 for the 1 hour minimum. Mm-hmm. If you do the over the basically remotely let me do it, it's only $50.
Okay. Right. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, sitting here as you're going through these scenarios, now I'm thinking about my mom, and here's why. She has a lot of technology gadgets. You know, she's got the iPad, the iPhone, the laptop, and things like that. And it's without fail. I am you in this scenario. You know, she's calling me. You know, my email's not going out. I can't open this picture and things of this nature. And unfortunately, she and I are 4 hours apart. So here's what she does. She actually loads it all up in her car, and she drives it down to Mac Authority. And it, the reason she's doing this is because it's an error with Comcast because her email's not working. And, of course, you know, she wastes an hour and a half of her day driving everything down there, hauling it in. It's frustrating for her because she doesn't speak tech. You know, she speaks the older generation just doesn't have that, was not grown up with that technical language that we have. So you would be an ideal situation for somebody like that who once a month, without fail, sometimes two or three times, there's an error, the Wi-Fi is not syncing up with the iPhone and things like that. So is that scenario something that would be in your sweet spot where you can come in and quickly just fix these things?
Yeah, it's something that I can't remotely do, but that's something that I could definitely come out, fix up the whatever connection's wrong, whatever setting's sure. wrong, and sort of diagnose everything. I take a lot. I do sort of like I took everything in the years of working and doing remote on sites for Staples, doing help desk, and I try to take it a little bit further than most companies would. I mean, right. I take every time I go to a job, I take notes on everything. I write passwords down for them. I write everything I can write about what their problem was, how it was fixed, and basically. When they get an invoice from me, they also get a write-up on everything that I've done, sure. everything that their passwords are, so that it kind of prevents that problem. Because
yeah.
who wants to keep taking their thing? I mean, calling up and saying, yeah, it's my iPad again. It's gone down on me. I can't get any emails. My business shuts down. I kind of want to make it where I don't get a repeat call constantly because, I mean, even though I like making money and all,
sure.
but it's just one of the things where you just,
it's a service that you're yeah. providing, and people need, obviously, the immediate maintenance and fix it, but they also need prevention. And, you know, I'm sure you have an opportunity where you'll go in and work with somebody, and you'll see that they don't have any spyware or virus control software on there. And you might recommend a certain product. You might be able to say, hey, I see your immediate needs, but let me tell you what's about to happen in 2 or 3 months. This could happen. And you probably have some off the shelf or things that you can help download for them to install on their computer just to make their experience navigating the world of the internet a little bit more friendly.
And there's also like, I mean, if you get my remote service, I can pretty much get into your computer, check it almost daily, and have it also give me reminders like if you're missing updates and stuff, and I can contact the customer and say, hey, you're missing this, or I've seen errors that are happening in your event log, and it's pointing towards that your hard drive's getting ready to fail.
So that system reports to you also to
yeah,
let you know.
It gives me a list of all my clients' computers, if they're missing updates, if there's any kind of errors that it's picking up. It just basically gives me the best way of telling what's going on with all my clients.
That's fantastic. Now, when you do that for business, do you do it per station? I'm sure it's not just $35 if I've got 10 computers. How does that work for a small business?
It's basically, I mean, I had it worked out to where if it's, I have like basic ones, and then I also have one that covers like, if one person has kids, they're most likely going to have problems because when any kid goes on the internet, they're just searching everything on the internet. They're doing everything.
Right.
So they're going to get spyware, viruses all the time. Mm-hmm. You can either take that to the store every month and pay $150, have them remove it, or I have basically a package that starts at just for home users, $75.
Okay, great.
And so when I monitor it and I see those kind of situations happen, I even include the removal of it in there.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always felt it was kind of ridiculous at Staples after we charged $150 to remove it. We do nothing to prevent it after that. We don't I mean, we don't do, they didn't do anything. It was out of our scope.
Right. So what's the biggest call that you get where somebody's like, can you do this? And you're like, no, I don't. Like, what, just like, you know, people call us to fix their email. We don't fix email. We're internet guys, you know, and we do have some of those answers, but not to the extent you do. What's the one thing, I mean, somebody calls you and says, build me a website, or what's the biggest call you get where people think you do something that you don't do?
Well, I mean, with business, it's different with businesses and stuff, but mainly business between home users, but businesses usually call me up and say, like I kind of organize them. If they have like more than one person and they need to know each other's schedules, like I know Saul Yepser, your computers have a Google service on there, a Google shared calendar, so that you keep everybody on track that way. There's also like Comcast offers a service I can help set up for you, because they won't set it up, but it gives you Exchange and gives you the same shared calendars, workspace, shared workspace, everything. So that's been one of the
shared
things.
Shared workspace. Talk a little about that.
There's basically Microsoft. When you get that kind of package, you can also get their cloud service. And included in that is, and included with Comcast is a place where you can actually share your documents in a cloud.
Okay.
So if you have people that are mobile all the time and you have people in the office and I don't have time to run back to the office to get this, I mean, you can keep everything securely on the SharePoint, and anybody can basically get those documents no matter where you're at.
Gotcha. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, we have to share a lot of documents with our clients also, and we try to use different clouds to do that, and we're already paying Comcast, so that might even be interesting for us. So it sounds like even just to have you come in and do an audit of what a business is doing and the things that they could be doing to do better, do you do that, or do you have to wait on a problem?
No, I definitely. I mean, when I go in there and I see that, one time I went to an office for an insurance company, and they're basically paying Comcast business, and he comes in there, and he's just like, I want to get all my salespeople and all my producers. I want them all to be on that. I know what they're doing. I know their schedules and stuff. And I was just like, I mean, that's when I look at his system and who's he's running, ask him questions. And I'm like, do you know that you get free mailboxes from Comcast, free exchange boxes, and you get the whole SharePoint, you get all that stuff. And he didn't even know that. So
he was out looking for an answer, and he really already owned one. He just needed to utilize it correctly.
Yeah, a lot of people have the solution right there. If it's not for free, it doesn't cost very much. I mean, there's a lot of things out there that people don't know about that can just help them run their business better.
Man, that's incredibly interesting.
Let me ask a couple of the myths out there, you know, that people always assume is true, and you're the expert, and you can either say true or false here. You know, Macs don't get viruses. You know, number one, before we elaborate, is that true or false?
They're not really targeted, but I mean, you can't say that. I mean, there are definitely malicious spyware out there for Macs, but Apple's not going to really say out there and kind of stoop down and say, oh, we got some problems like Microsoft has. They're going to basically, a lot of the updates with like Lion right now, there's antivirus running in the background built into the operating system.
Okay.
So it is going to be a little bit safer on the internet. So it's just not targeted by companies that want to basically steal information and sell your information and just turn your computer into a nightmare with pop-ups and slowing it down. You can run Windows PC just as secure as a Mac. I mean, a lot of people are going to sit there and say, yeah, right.
Well, you know, so I mean, I guess the second myth or fact about that is that the people that are writing these hacking programs, people that are writing the spyware type of applications and viruses, they are spending their time writing it for the masses, because the PC world dominates the computer world, if you will. Is there truth to that?
Mainly from what I've researched to what they're doing and who's developing it, it's mainly overseas. It's basically marketing, just like it's wrote for the masses. But if you have a pop-up for one thing that's the same thing that came from the same email, I mean, it's really just somebody overseas is tagging their information into the spyware, so that when your computer goes on the internet, it's hitting other people's websites. A lot of them aren't the greatest website you'd want your kids to ever see.
Sure.
But it's basically they're getting like a quarter or a tenth of a cent for every hit that your computer is doing to a website.
Really? Golly, I didn't know that people are out there making money based upon things like that happening while you're surfing the internet. So that is pretty, that's pretty unusual.
Is that for search engine purposes? What does the hit do?
Okay, well, if I lived overseas and I wanted to make some money on the side and I was very good with computers and understood it well, I could make a website that maybe targets like Britney Spears and put some pictures on there and optimize it for search, but it's overseas, and when somebody clicks on a search like in Google for images, they'll see like my picture of Britney Spears on there. They'll click on it and see my website. After they go on my website, I got like a JavaScript there that's going to try to run and install my advertisement stuff onto your computer. Once it gets on there, it basically tells your computer in the background to go to these websites that I have a list of that I get paid for. So gotcha. If my spyware spreads out to 100,000 people, I'm making at least a couple, about 500 to 1,000 bucks a week.
Wow.
So...
yeah, like for instance, I got a deal where if I type something into the actual www.something and I do it wrong, this automatic search comes up. Not if I'm typing in the Google search, but this automatic search thing comes up that somehow has installed itself that I've never been able to get rid of. So somebody probably, by those images coming up in a search, is getting paid these tenths of percents because I've got some malicious something in the computer doing that.
Yeah, it's all overseas, so there's nothing that we can really do about it except kind of learn more about security on your computer,
right.
Understand it better. But that's called hijacking your browser. When you type in a website and all of a sudden a Zito whatever search engine comes up, that's one of the biggest known kind of spammers of advertisement you can get on your computer, but it's kind of harmless, but there's definitely some more malicious ones that you can run into that not only want to make money off of you, it'll also say, hey, pay us $59 and we'll stop the pop-ups.
Oh,
so
gotcha.
My mom, I mean, she lives out in Athens, kind of about an hour and a half drive. She calls me up one time and like, Eric, I tried to not have you come all the way out here. I tried to fix it myself. It said that if I downloaded this for and paid them $59.99, everything would be fine. But my computer, it's just still slow as can be,
right.
And it's just horrible.
Right.
And I kind of talked to her and said, yeah, what did you do? What did you buy? And I found out, I'm like, oh, you just bought spyware. So,
oh boy.
Jeez.
I'm like, dispute the charge, call somebody up.
Right.
I'll be there to fix it.
So, right. You know, if somebody, you know, because everybody tends to want to get a new computer or laptop about every 3, 4, 5 years, depending upon how it's working and what they're trying to get accomplished. Do the people that you work with, will you give recommendations? You say, you know what, you're a mainly internet and email person. You need to get a HP. You need to get a whatever, and then give them recommendations on where to go buy it. Because everybody kind of gets frustrated with going to the big box stores and trying to find a new computer, a new laptop. You can get a laptop now for $300. You can also spend $3,000 on a new laptop. I mean, do you help somebody kind of navigate that purchase?
Yeah, I mean, it's since I've worked in the retail industry for, 6 years at Staples, I have been their tech, and I also had to go sell. I mean, I've been to every conference, every training. Personally, my apartment's like a technology war zone, but it works really good. But yeah, that's one of the things. I know a lot of brands. I know which ones work. I read a lot of reviews. I'm constantly, that's kind of like, I went to art school and I found out I really just have, I like watching 3D
like graphic
animation.
Art?
3D animation.
Oh, okay.
Everybody's like, oh, do you use a Mac? I'm like, no. No, Macs aren't in the 3D animation. They just recently got in there offering professional video cards in their very expensive $4,000 towers. And I was just like, yeah, I'll take one for $2,000 that does the same thing, if not better.
Yeah.
So,
well, cool. Well, where did you get that formal training? Where did you go to school?
I went to Savannah College of Art and Design.
Oh, cool.
Bachelor of Fine Arts in Media Arts and Animation. But
are you from Athens, though? You mentioned your mom lives out there? Or?
And my mom was born and raised in Clarksville, Georgia, moved to Pennsylvania.
Oh, wow.
Where I was born. So
okay.
Once cool. I went to chose SCAD as my college of choice, and I guess she kind of got jealous and said, "Oh my God,
I want to go home."
Yeah, she's like, "I want to go back to Georgia now that my son's there." It gives me a great excuse. I'm like, "I just got 800 miles away from you guys, right. And you're following me down.
Trying to run away, leave me alone." Well, that's great. That's great. Well, are there any last minute words of wisdom that you would give? What you know, your party moments of you know, who you are, what you do, and really who's in that wheelhouse, and who you'd love to have contact you today about these issues.
Well, I guess my parting note is that the most frustrating thing I see that happens, that, I mean, they always call me after the fires pretty much burned the house down, and it's just like that's what people do. Oh, my computer's dead, might as well just buy another one. It's computers are like on average right now with no maintenance, nothing. The average life is a year and a half.
Jeez.
So you can get more out of desktops. They usually tend to almost go up to 3 years if you're lucky and mm-hmm. you've done nothing, but they're like vacuum cleaners. They suck in the dust in your air that you don't see, or actually your wife probably sees it when she's cleaning on, wiping tables down and stuff. But computers suck that in, and they build up a nice little insulation inside there, and they just pop early for people. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that I can help people with, which they don't even realize they need.
Like even cleaning?
Yeah, cleaning is a very big part of computers. You can actually extend almost double the life of any product you have. My desktop's on 5 years. It's never blue screen. It's never done anything wrong. Mm-hmm. My laptop I had 2 years. Well, I got it on clearance for like $180. Mm-hmm. It was already broken, but it's like, I'll have a warranty fix it.
Right.
It lasted about 2 years, and that was with taking care of it. So it doesn't guarantee that it'll make it last longer, because cheap products are cheap products.
Right.
Sometimes you just can't fight it.
Right.
But I now purchased a much more expensive HP laptop. Aluminum chassis, highly recommend when you buy a product, get something that's at least built sturdy.
Not plastic.
Yeah. I mean, plastic's just one of the things where IBM is the only company that built a laptop that's plastic exterior, but inside it got a magnesium shell, makes flexing of the motherboard. I mean, it's really the handling of laptops that kill them.
Hmm. It sounds like that's kind of like answering that question you asked, Matt, about, hey, give me some advice on what to go buy, because I'd spend $100 more if I could get another 6 months out of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I guess I'm living on borrowed time. My laptop was built in 2005.
Yeah, I was going to say mine was given to me 4 years ago, and I don't know when it was built. Yeah.
I should say the difference is that, I mean, things have changed. I mean, computers have definitely evolved to be more disposable. But
yeah,
I mean, I got an old Pentium 3 laptop, and it's still kicking after That's 9 years. So
that's great, man. Well, Eric,
good deal. Yeah, Eric, give the listeners out there the best way to contact you. You know, websites and phone numbers and anything else that would be important. So that way, those that are following along can find you on the internet and reach out and get some support from you.
Yeah, basically, my website's it's real simple: johnscreekcomputers.com. You can give me a call at 770-876-9297. I do my own web developing right now, so I mean, I'm constantly changing, putting advice, start a blog, trying to write all the recommendations I learn, and I'm constantly training, so I'd love to hear from some people.
And service area, you know, what's your circle around Johns Creek that you're willing to travel to help support a you know, somebody at their house that's having some trouble?
I really have a very broad range. I mean, with Staples, they gave me 50 miles. I'll do the same thing, and I don't
You'll
charge.
Match it, huh?
Especially if you're able to fix it online, because then there, I mean, you could fix something in South Dakota at that point, right? I mean, as long as you have internet access, you can go in and fix the problem. So I would think 50% of the problems, hopefully, you can fix without a trip, right?
Yeah, most of the stuff I can fix with that. I mean, I do need an initial trip to go out there and kind of set everything up. So right. if they're having any kind of problem or just want a tune-up, I can come out there, tune up your computer, offer you a maintenance, and if you don't even want that, I'll still install something that I can remote control it. If you have any issues, you can give me a call. But mainly, I mean, Johns Creek, Alpharetta, coming.
Okay, kind of that North Fulton, South Forsyth, head over to Duluth, I'm sure, to be able to help somebody out, and so that's good. Well, Eric, we really do appreciate you having on the show. We've always kind of wondered about some of these questions, and it's neat that you've developed a service and a business that allows people to rest easy, that they're being efficient, that they've got some good service, and if they have a problem, they can give you a call, shoot you an email, and you can even log on remotely and fix things as they watch, which is pretty neat. So, Eric, again, we appreciate you being on the show. And for the listeners out there, if you got some problems like this, or you know somebody in your family like I know, who's always calling you to get them to help fix an email or fix a blue screen and Control-Alt-Delete just doesn't work anymore, go ahead and give them the contact information at eric@johnscreekcomputers.com, and I'm sure he'd be able to at least over the phone give you some ideas and probably be able to come out and help you out. So, Eric, again, thanks for being on the show. And Danny, you've got the top 10 social media moments of the day here ready for us?
I don't. I was hoping that a smarter man than me was going to email those out. Do you have them ready? Do you have something for us today?
Yeah, I got, and I'll kind of go off that meeting I had a little bit earlier today once we got the PC cranked back up and things were going as planned. The nature of their business, they have a very targeted audience that they want to reach. And again, with the advent of the internet and especially on Facebook, we are going to be able to go target a very specific group of people. Their demographic that they wanted to go, get this, their demographic that they wanted to go after were people that lived up in North Georgia, you know, around the Chattanooga area. They're people anywhere between the ages of about 25 to 50, you know, so they're, you know, the more of a young adventurous type people. They wanted people that liked, you know, outdoors type things. They wanted people that had kids. They wanted people that liked to eat fast food restaurants. They had people that liked to travel to Florida and beach destination. I mean, so their list of specifics was going on and on and on. And what we were able to do, and again, this technology is available out there, is we were able to go pinpoint about 30,000 people that met this demographic that was just kind of all over the board. And that was a real neat opportunity. And so today's social media moment is, if you're looking to go out there and target a group of people very specific down to what kind of car they drive or what kind of toppings they like on their burritos, you can actually go do that through the technology that Facebook allows. Because think about it. If you sent out 2,500 postcards, just random to a zip code, and you were looking for that person that meet that demographic, you're probably going to be maybe one out of that 2,500 that would actually warrant that product or service that you're offering. And what are the chances that they're going to see it? Well, on Facebook, you're able to go market your opportunity to 30,000 people that meet your demographic. So, you know, for those people that are doing some traditional marketing, you know, hopefully it's working for you. And if not, we at Yeps are able to go and pinpoint and put you in front of that person that that is the perfect ideal client for you. And so I thought that was kind of neat as we went through that exercise because I didn't know what the results were going to be. I was hoping maybe it'd be 30 to 40 people. Right. And when it said 30,000 people, the guy almost stood up out of his seat and forgave me for my computer not working. So that, I thought that was pretty neat. So that again, specific, narrow, the internet's the way to go, bud.
If you want to target, use the internet. Thank you so much, Matt, for that social media moment. And if you have any questions about that moment or any of the other moments that we've had here through Yepser Internet Strategy, that's yepser.com, yepser.com. Please give us a call. We'll have one of our local associates come out, talk to you for a minute. That's a free opportunity to get those social media answers. And don't forget, Eric, as you get the computer up and running so we can turn the internet on.
That's exactly right. It's exactly right. So again, call Yepser for internet. Call Eric, not Blockbuster, for help with your...
If your computer breaks down, it's blockbuster.com, buddy.
I love it. People are probably dragging their laptops into Blockbuster right now.
I was thinking of Best Buy is who I was thinking of, whatever their little...
Well, if they can find a Blockbuster open, they're probably dragging up to Redbox.
I know. They're
trying to put it in the slot.
Yeah, trying to slam their laptop
into
the Redbox.
That's what we need. We need
a Walgreens.
Big, you know, like a big FedEx thing where you drop your laptop in it, and you come back about 3 days later, and it's at the bottom already fixed for you.
Didn't Blockbuster go out of business?
Yeah, they're cooked.
There's still one over there in Roswell, with the Crabapple area. That they're still there.
Are they really?
Yeah,
you can still
that
go
one
in
by
and pick
Kroger over there by Crabapple. You can walk in. My question is, when you go in there and you rent that DVD, 2 days later, the store closed down. What in the hell do you do with that DVD?
Where do you mail that thing to?
Is it yours? Did you win?
I don't know.
Somebody asked me a question, just like, do you know anybody as good as you at working on computers? Because like, if you ever leave, what am I going to do?
Yeah, right. Who am I going to call?
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess the deal is, when you know the Blockbuster is about to shut down, go in there and rent about 40 DVDs, and they're yours to keep, I guess.
Right.
Maybe Mr. Blockbuster come track you
maybe
down.
Maybe I don't know. I think they put a 2x4 over the drop slot, you know, and you're stuck with it. So, but no, that's great, Matt. Thanks again for that social media moment. And thank you, Eric. And thank you, Andy, as always, for hosting the show.
Good job, Andy. Man, you were on your game today, buddy.
I was at the top of it. This is as good as it gets.
That's as good as it gets.
He was typing with one hand and turning the
buttons
the
with
wheels
the other
of steel
and
with the other.
I'm just glad you had the social media moment. I thought when Danny didn't have it, I was going to have to do it. I'm
like, yeah, and hey, right.
Might,
no,
might get ugly
week.
Today.
That's next week.
That's right.
So again, we thank all of our listeners for tuning in. Everything Atlanta's got a new website, everythingatlanta.org. So go check that out. We've got some new and improved.
Is that an HTML5?
Yeah, Matt, take 1 minute to tell them about Everything Atlanta. Everything Atlanta has expanded. Our audience has become so large, over tens of thousands of followers now.
Yeah, it's significant. They were screaming for something, and we took the time to give it to them.
Yeah, so check that website out. We talked a little bit about it last week, but there are some great opportunities on everythingatlanta.org, and maybe next week the social media moment will be more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We can do that. So again, thank you for listening today, and you can find us online. And if you would like to be a guest on the radio, go to the website and fill out the form, and we'd love to entertain you as an option to be here on our show. So remember, Atlanta, you don't know anything Atlanta until you've listened to Everything Atlanta, every Tuesday at noon here on Business Radio X.